Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, this is Bob Davis, and it is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And today, of course, it's a teaching edition because it is Friday. And as you know, on these past Friday editions, we've been considering what we called hard passages. And we hope that addressing them has cleared up any of the confusion and fear you may have experienced over some of those. Now, if you missed any of those sessions or if you would like to revisit them, you can find each of those sessions, those Friday sessions, in our radio archive under the radio menu at basicgospel.net. And I hope you'll take advantage of those. Today, we take a different direction on Basic Gospel, and here to tell us about it is Bob Christopher.
Well, we are going to take a different direction. We're going to follow up on what we talked about last Friday. We raised the question, are there two different types of forgiveness? And many theologians will divide forgiveness into judicial and parental, or positional and experiential. So at the cross, and when we come to faith in Jesus, we receive the judicial kind. Mm-hmm. It's just now that we go forward, there's another kind of forgiveness. Well, it's kind of interesting. They don't give two different types of sin. You know, sin carries the weight of death. The wages of sin is death. But to think that there's two types of forgiveness, you know, there must be two types of sin. But that's not the case. That's why we have to come to rest in the fact that once we're forgiven in Christ, we're forgiven.
Yes.
That's just reality. We don't have to put labels on that. We don't have to call it judicial or parental or experiential or positional or forensic or any of those labels that we put on it. We just call it forgiveness. Let it be what it is. In Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, as I always say, period, end of story. Well, it's such an important topic, and many of the hard passages are hard passages because they tie to that forgiveness issue. They make people think that maybe they're not as forgiven as they once thought. So today, we want to look at Hebrews chapter 10. And just the first part of first 18 verses of this chapter, I think it's one of the most powerful. And Richard, you and I were talking beforehand, and I even made the comment, it is the most powerful chapter in the Word of God as it relates to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, to set this up, I'm going to look at a couple of other passages or make note of them. So I want you to make note of these in your Bible as well. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 is the writer of Hebrews taking the prophecy of Jeremiah and bringing it forward and putting it front and center in his letter. It is the prophecy about the new covenant. There is going to be a time when God was going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Well, when Jesus raised the cup with his disciples on that last Passover meal that they had together, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." So basically what he was saying to his disciples was that the time of the new covenant was now. Mm-hmm. Now, how does a new covenant go into effect? How is a covenant like that ratified? It is ratified through death. So this new covenant is like a will. A will only goes into effect after the one who made it dies. And that's what we see in Hebrews 9, starting in verse 16. Right before that, it said that Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. And then he says how this new covenant went into being. It went into being through the death of Jesus Christ. So the moment Jesus died, this new covenant went into effect. It was ushered in. Now, in this new covenant, we have the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ, the forfeiting of his life. We read in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we need to put all of those pieces together. There was a time when a new covenant was going to go into place. Jesus identified that time when he raised his cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." He ratified and ushered it in the very next day when he offered his life as the once-for-all sacrifice for full payment of sin. At that moment, that was the dividing line. That was the pivot point from the old covenant to the new covenant. The old covenant was fulfilled. The new covenant went into full effect. Okay? So we, on this side of the cross, live in the new covenant. The old had a purpose, had a job. That was fulfilled in Christ. It's been set aside. It's obsolete. It's fading. It has disappeared. Jesus Christ now stands as the focal point as of the plan of God.
Right.
Okay? That's good news, isn't it?
That's
so
wonderful news.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ shed his blood, and we're going to learn in Hebrews 10 exactly what that means for us. So let's pick up in Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm just going to read the first four verses, and then we'll take a quick break after this. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. So what do we learn about the law in that particular verse? We see that the law is a shadow, that it's not the reality itself. Okay? So there are many people out there who are holding up the law as the most significant piece of revelation that has ever come from God's mouth to ours. And here the writer of Hebrews says that can't be, because it's simply reflecting a more valuable reality. It's simply a shadow. It's not the reality. It's just the shadow of the good things that were coming to us in Christ. And so since it was a shadow, since it has no substance in and of itself, it, the law, can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered, make perfect those who draw near. So folks who offered those sacrifices were in hopes that those sacrifices were sufficient enough to cleanse their consciences once and for all, so that they could draw near to God in perfect worship. But those sacrifices did not perfect them, and so they were unable to draw near. And that's exactly what we learn here. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered? Since those sacrifices could never make the people perfect, then they continued to offer them year after year, yes, month after month, day after day. Sacrifices were continually offered. They would have stopped being offered if they would have been able to cleanse the worshipers and their consciences of sins. But they were unable to do that. Why? Because in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So those were offered. The law demanded that they be offered. They were offered religiously, regularly, in the exact way that God had prescribed. Yet those sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, was not sufficient, was not of value enough to take away the sins of the world. It was just an impossibility for those to do so.
Yeah.
So they continued to offer those sacrifices,
yes,
year after year after year. So we need a better sacrifice.
Much better.
One that will take away our sins forever. One that needed to be offered only once, that would give us the confidence to say in our hearts that we are forgiven people. We're going to talk about that sacrifice after this break.
Praise God, we have that sacrifice, and I look forward to that, Bob. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you are with us today. But you know what? There are others who need to hear this good news of the finality of the cross of Jesus Christ and the reality of his life, and those of us who believe. We hope you'll help us keep the good news coming and increasing. Please help us with a gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can give by phone at 844-322-2742. And to say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel, we're going to send you our 2-CD series called Trail of Assurance. It's designed, of course, to help you cut through the haze and confusion of end times teaching and to stand firmly in the love and assurance found only in Jesus Christ. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we need this once for all sacrifice. And in the next four or five verses, we see what God did to prepare a sacrifice that would be sufficient to take away our sins once and for all. So, Richard, why don't you walk us through verses 5 through 10? And I think when we come to the conclusion of this little section in verse 10, if your mind isn't blown away, you haven't been listening, because this is an incredible good news that the cross of Christ brings to human hearts. So, Richard, walk us through this section of Scripture.
Okay. So the writer of Hebrews is going to now quote several passages out of the Old Testament, most of them from Psalms, but look how he puts these together. Therefore, this is verse 5, therefore, when he comes into the world, that is, this new person, this Jesus figure, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. So after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which is offered according to the law, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. Okay? When you look in the law at all of these required sacrifices, the high point of that law was the Day of Atonement in terms of dealing with sin. What was the last thing that happened on the Day of Atonement? It tells us in Leviticus 16 that Aaron had to go back into the temple, take off all the special clothing that he wore for the Day of Atonement, to take a bath, and then put on his other clothes and come out, and he offered a burnt offering for himself and for the people. Now, we just finished the day when sins were supposedly taken away, and the closing song, if you will, are two sacrifices, one for Aaron the high priest and one for the people. God didn't really want those sacrifices. He gave us the picture, but what he wanted was a body. He wanted someone to come and do his will. And so what Jesus has done, he takes away the first in order to establish the second. Takes away the first covenant in order to establish the second covenant. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Say that again, please.
Wow. By this will, this new covenant, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The way this is written, to this perfect tense, have been sanctified, set apart as holy. It occurred, we were set apart as holy, and the results will continue. Just continue and continue. We have been forever set apart because Jesus offered himself, and he offered himself once for all.
Once for all sin.
Once for all.
So this is vitally important for us to understand. Why? Because so many Christians believe that when they're saved, that at that moment they receive forgiveness for all of their past sins, everything that they've done up until that point. And then moving forward, Christ is going to dole out forgiveness as needed. So every time you sin as a believer, more forgiveness is going to be passed out.
And but then more only if you say the right things and do the right things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches.
Not
that is
all.
Nowhere in the Word of God. We see in this passage that God made a body, that prepared a body for Jesus. Jesus inhabited that body, and he offered that body one time for all sin.
Yes.
And the result of that once for all sacrifice is the fact that we have been made holy in God's sight forever. As you said, this is a once for all act with continual results.
Yes.
It never changes.
No.
So the day that I was born again, I received the forgiveness of God. This was applied to me. I was made holy in God's sight. The next day, years from now, it's all going to be the same. I'm still holy in God's sight.
Yes.
Because of the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I've been made clean. I have been set apart.
Yes.
For God's use. Now that gives me the confidence to draw near.
Yes.
Those sacrifices in the old covenant, the blood of the bull, the blood of the goats, that wasn't sufficient to cleanse my conscience, to empower me to move near to God. As a matter of fact, I continued to shrink back. The distance grew between me and God. Why? Because every year, those sacrifices were a reminder of my sin, of just how far away from God I really was through my own human effort.
Yeah.
But this sacrifice does something in the human heart. It cleanses us from deep within and gives us the confidence to draw near. So there's no such thing as more forgiveness needed. We've received all that we've needed, and our consciences have been cleansed forever. It's a perpetual cleansing that we have received through this shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the important thing is, by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus.
Yes.
So our faith and dependence is on the blood of Christ. It is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He offered his life. He laid his life down, then took it up again. Mm-hmm. And it's in that life of Christ that we find satisfaction for our souls, that we find release from sin and guilt. And talk about good news. That is good news.
Without question.
So by that will, the will of God, you have been made holy. That was God's will for you. He wanted you to be holy. There's no way that the sacrifices of old could bring that about. So he prepared a body for Jesus. Jesus offered that body. God the Father accepted it as payment in full and declared you holy in his sight. Good news.
I'll say it's good news. You know, friends, it is true that we live in unsettling times, and sometimes when events and prophecy teaching seem to merge, well, confusion and fear seem to be the result. And to help dissolve some of that fear and do away with that stuff, Bob Christopher has produced a 2-CD series called Trail of Assurance, and it's going to help you clear the air and sort out truth from error. We'd like you to have a copy as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Simply donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 4-844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of Trail of Assurance. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. It is a Friday teaching edition of Basic Gospel, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So let's keep moving forward. Verse 11. So the writer of Hebrews does a great job in comparing and contrasting the old covenant with the new. As a matter of fact, the entire book of Hebrews is a series of contrasts.
Yes.
So the writer takes everything kind of out of the Jewish sacred Hall of Fame, and he says, we're going to lay those out, and we're going to compare those to Christ. You think angels are really something special? Let's compare them to Jesus, and you're going to see that Jesus is superior. You think Moses was a great leader? Well, guess what? He was just a servant in the house. Jesus was the architect of the house, the builder, and the owner.
Yeah.
So he's superior. You think that old covenant was something special? Take a look at this new. You think those sacrifices of the old were of value? Take a look at what Jesus accomplished. And that's what Hebrews 10 is really focusing on, is the difference between the sacrifices in the Mosaic law and the sacrifice that ushered in this new covenant. So in verse 11, it says, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. How would you like to have that job? You stand, you can't sit down. It's prohibited from sitting down. The reason, your work is never done, but you offer these sacrifices. You do it until your term is up. You pass it on to the next generation. They do it. And with all of it, you continue to hear, it can never take away sin.
Yeah.
It can never take away sin. You're doing a job that will never be effective. You're doing a job that will never truly make a difference. And yet they did it because it was a shadow pointing forward to the one sacrifice that eventually would make a difference.
Yeah.
So if they had looked at it in that way, then their daily task had meaning.
Yes.
But if they were looking at it in the effectiveness of the job, oh my gosh, there must have been an incredible depression and burnout within the Levitical group. But it says those sacrifices could never take away sin. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. So how many sacrifices?
One.
One. Single. A single sacrifice for sins. He sat down at the right hand of God. So the priest of old, they never sat down. As a matter of fact, a chair was prohibited in that temple. But when Christ offered himself once for all, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Why did he do that? Because his work was finished.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting, when he invites us to come be with him, he's basically saying, come and take a seat with me.
Yeah.
Because your work is done as well.
Yeah. Well, think about that. I mean, there was no place to sit in the holy place. There was one chair in the temple, and it was in the most holy place, the mercy seat.
Yes.
Jesus finished his work and walked in there and sat down. Can you imagine if a priest had walked in there and tried to sit down? We have pictures of that, too. They were killed.
Yeah, he would have died.
Yeah. Jesus just walks in and says, hi, Dad, I'm home, and sits down.
That's exactly right. And he's seated there. He's waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, and this is another important verse, verse 14 of Hebrews 10, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are the holy ones, is how the passage reads in the Greek. So he is perfected. He has made complete you who have been set apart by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that you need. You don't need forgiveness doled out to you day after day after day. You have already received all the forgiveness that you ever need. And he concludes this chapter with these great words, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where these are forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Richard, what is he saying here that is so vitally important for us to understand?
Well, there are no verbs in this last statement, just nouns. They're statements of fact. There was one sacrifice. It was forgiveness. It provided forgiveness. There is now no sacrifice. It's so strong. I mean, he starts out with saying, you know, there was never any forgiveness that couldn't do away with sin. But now, sin has been done away with, and there is no sacrifice. It is finished, completely, utterly finished. We are forgiven people.
Yes, we are.
And we need to stand on that
truth. On it.
Believe it and say thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us for this teaching edition, everybody. I ask you a question. Is that good news to you? It is to me. Well, we hope that you will join us with a generous gift to help support this message and this ministry called Basic Gospel as we move forward through the rest of this year and into the future. We hope that you'll visit the website, basicgospel.net, and click that donate button. Also, you can call 844-322-2742. You can do that anytime, 24 hours a day, and make your contribution. And when you do, we're going to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's 2 CD series. series, Trail of Assurance. I hope you'll take advantage of that. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, for Stephen, Greg, Michelle, Billy, Coleman, Jeannie, Rod, all of us here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a very great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.